visiting team of the championship game would then go to the second place team. So if the season were to end today, it would be a State College at West Virginia MLB Draft League Championship game. But State College right now in second, they are one game out of first. Williamsport right behind State College. They are two games out of first place. And then there's Frederick. They are in fourth, four games out of first, three games behind second place State College. So right now they are three games out of that second spot that they're trying to get. And what hurts is that they don't play State College at all in the second half. So no chance for them to make up ground. As Okay, so we have just gotten an official announcement after the umpires had gathered with the two managers, and then Jeff Manto and Joe Oliver, as well as our head groundskeeper, Mike Dunn, and our general manager, Andrew Klein. And so the official announcement over the loudspeaker, and it's that we will now be beginning at 1:15 p.m. And now the rain has picked up a little bit now here at Nimmo Field at Harry Grove Stadium. All clouds right now, very gray sky. Most of the fans are huddled up underneath some sort of shelter, most of them underneath the concourse. But right now, again, the official announcement is that we will begin at 1:15. That's an estimated first pitch. But right now, again, the rain has begun to pick up a little bit here at Nimmo Field, Harry Grove Stadium. I don't know what Mother Nature has against Trenton and Frederick, because already two rainouts so far in this second half. Both of them have been before Trenton and Frederick could really get going. So it's these two teams, whatever reason, Mother Nature has other plans. So we don't want to have any more rainouts. Again, this is going to be game number 26 on the schedule. Just 13 games left in this regular season. And we want to see some ball. We don't want to see any more games rained out. The unfortunate part about this in the MLB Draft League is that these games do not get made up. So there are no makeups. There are some teams that do play more games than others, just so happens. And so the Keys have already had two games rained out in this second half, and so we're hoping it does not become a third game. But right now the official announcement is that we will begin at 1:15, first pitch. And right now they are beginning to put on the tarp for just the mound and for home plate only, not for the entire infield. They just want to protect the mound and then obviously the batter's boxes and home plate. So the best grounds crew in the business here about to get underway with that. But again, yeah, let's why don't we real quickly back to the Draft League standing. So West Virginia in first. I mean, don't even have to consider them in first place, really. They're just playing for pride at this point until they get to the MLB Draft League Championship game. It's that second place spot that we need to keep an eye out for. And it's State College right now in second at 17-10. Williamsport in third at 15-10. Frederick in fourth at 13-12. And right now, Frederick is three games behind State College for that second place spot. The Keys, for the rest of their schedule, though, will only face West Virginia, Trenton, and then Williamsport for one more series. And so how interesting would that be if Frederick and Williamsport, maybe they're the two teams that end up becoming towards the end there, maybe the second and third place teams. Wouldn't it be interesting if that three-game series kind of determines who becomes the visiting team in the MLB Draft League Championship game? Again, the second half winner of the Draft League gets to be the visiting team against the West Virginia Black Bears in the MLB Draft League Championship game. So what it means for Frederick is that they got to take care of business themselves. West Virginia, a great team in itself. You know, they're not going to let off the gas pedal. Meanwhile, for Trenton, a team that's been struggling, he should be able to take care of business against Trenton. And then Williamsport for the final weekend of the regular season. That'll be the one and only time that they've played Williamsport in the second half. And Williamsport, their offense is among the best in the draft league, and they could go off at any minute as well. So you have an idea of how they can do against West Virginia and Trenton. You don't really have much of an idea of what they can do against Williamsport. And so it's going to be for the Keys. It's going to take a big time run for them to try and get to that second place spot in order to play some playoff baseball. Rain has really picked up now here at Nimmo Field at Harry Grove Stadium. We might have to put out the tarp. So we're going to take a break here on the Keys Radio Network, and we'll be right back here as we get ready for Keys and Thunder.
Which really means I'm a constant multitasker. I'm the accounting department, the marketing department, the mailroom. So how do I get it all done? Logistics.
Multitaskers love logistics. That's why they love the UPS store for finishing and printing their documents, packing and shipping their packages, and convenient mailbox services. Visit your local UPS stores at 5257 Buckeystown Pike or by phone at 301-620-8825. Visit UPS at Clemson Corner or give the store a call at 240-397-7473.
Looking to hit a home run on organizing the perfect birthday celebration for your child? Look no further than a Frederick Keys baseball game. All birthday parties include 10 field seats, 10 hot dogs, 10 cupcakes, as well as chips and drinks. Birthday parties will also be supplied with 10 Keys logo baseballs, 5 Fun Zone tickets per party guest. You'll also receive a visit from Coyote, birthday recognition, and a digital party picture. Birthday parties start at $195. For more information, call the Frederick Keys at 301-815-9900 or visit frederickkeys.com. Make a Frederick Keys game the site of your next group outing. The Keys have a variety of great group options to choose from. Taking a game from the Flying Dog hop deck in left field or the courtyard area on the first base side. Having a big party and want a great view of the game? The Matches Warehouse Club provides a home plate terrace level view, and you can't go wrong with the triple suites located on both the first and third base side. Single suites are also available as well. To book a group outing at the Keys game, please call our team at 301-815-9900 or visit frederickkeys.com.
Hey Keys fans, get up-to-date highlights, news, and more from the Frederick Keys all season long by following us on social media. We provide team updates, upcoming promotional events, and behind-the-scenes insight from the Frederick Keys that you can't find anywhere else. Join us on Twitter and Instagram for live game updates each night by following at Frederick Keys. Head on over to TikTok for special skits with Coyote at Frederick Keys Baseball. You can also subscribe to our YouTube and like us on Facebook for longer video content, such as Unlocking the Keys, our podcast. Follow the Keys on social media now. Calling all youth baseball and softball players, the next time you come to a Keys game, wear your uniform. By doing so, you'll receive a free ticket to any Sunday through Thursday home game. Tickets must be purchased at the Keys box office on the day of the game. Additionally, each child must be accompanied by an adult. For more information about Keys tickets and promotions, contact the team at 301-815-9939 or visit frederickkeys.com. Frederick Keys Baseball, shake your keys.
Have a big birthday celebration coming up, a huge family get-together, or maybe just a party where you need a lot of space? Come and watch a Frederick Keys game in one of two luxurious triple suites. The Visit Frederick triple suite is on the first base side, and an additional triple suite can be found on the third base side. With room for up to 42 people, the triple suite includes tickets, 6 parking passes, top-notch wait service, and much more. To book your big night, call the Keys at 301-815-9900 or visit frederickkeys.com.
Flex Packs are making a return in 2022. Our Flex Packs allow you to have the ultimate flexibility when it comes to your tickets. Purchase one Flex Pack and get 10 undated ticket vouchers that can be redeemed when you want. Use 10 at once or split them up over the course of the season. Flex Pack ticket holders receive an additional 25% off at the box office, plus all ticket plan holders receive an exclusive gift, their choice of an F-Star pint glass or a Frederick Keys portable charger. Call the account manager right now at 301-815-9900 to secure your Flex Pack for 2022. Welcome back to the Keys Radio Network here from Nimio Field at Harry Grove Stadium. I'm Gareth Kwok. I just got back. We had to lay out the tarp. It is raining cats and dogs right now. And so as my shorts are soaked, I got my rain jacket. It's still soaked. But apologies for the dead air there in the sort of the long silence. But we had to put out the tarp. It is coming down here in Nimio Field at Harry Grove Stadium. So, that 1:15 first pitch is not going to happen. Don't have any update as far as when this game will begin. But we had to put out the tarp. It's on right now. The players are gathering underneath their dugouts and just hanging out for the time being. But Mother Nature right now has decided to lay down the storm here at Nimio Field at Harry Grove Stadium before we can begin this Sunday finale of the of Frederick versus Trenton. Keys trying to go for the sweep, but right now the weather has other plans. We'll continue to give you updates as soon as we get them. But right now, with the rain intensifying and coming on down hard here on the field, that's why I had to go help out with the tarp. And so we appreciate the patience, appreciate you listening. And if you were curious why there's no nothing going on, why it was so quiet, well, I had to go help out with the tarp. So I'm back here, but why don't we take a commercial break? I'm going to dry up right now here. I got a towel. It just looks like, just felt like I got out of the shower. So let's take a commercial break, and then I'll rejoin you in just a second right here on the Keys Radio Network.
My name is Susan, and I run my own consulting firm, which really means I'm a constant multitasker. I'm the accounting department, the marketing department, the mailroom. So how do I get it all done? Logistics.
Multitaskers love logistics. That's why they love the UPS store for finishing and printing their documents, packing and shipping their packages, and convenient mailbox services. Visit your local UPS stores at 5257 Buckeystown Pike or by phone at 301-620-8825. Visit UPS at Clemson Corner or give the store a call at 240-397-7473.
Looking to hit a home run on organizing the perfect birthday celebration for your child? Look no further than a Frederick Keys baseball game. All birthday parties include 10 field seats, 10 hot dogs, 10 cupcakes, as well as chips and drinks. Birthday parties will also be supplied with 10 Keys logo baseballs, 5 Fun Zone tickets per party guest. You'll also receive a visit from Coyote, birthday recognition, and a digital party picture. Birthday parties start at $195. For more information, call the Frederick Keys at 301-815-9900 or visit frederickkeys.com. Make a Frederick Keys game the site of your next group outing. The Keys have a variety of great group options to choose from. Take in a game from the Flying Dog hop deck in left field or the courtyard area on the first base side. Having a big party and want a great view of the game? The Match Warehouse Club provides a home plate terrace level view, and you can't go wrong with the triple suites located on both the first and third base side. Single suites are also available as well. To book a group outing at the Keys game, please call our team at 301-815-9900 or visit frederickkeys.com.
Hey Keys fans, get up-to-date highlights, news, and more from the Frederick Keys all season long by following us on social media. We provide team updates, upcoming promotional events, and behind-the-scenes insight from the Frederick Keys that you can't find anywhere else. Join us on Twitter and Instagram for live game updates each night by following at Frederick Keys. Head on over to TikTok for special skits with Coyote at Frederick Keys Baseball. You can also subscribe to our YouTube and like us on Facebook for longer video content, such as Unlocking the Keys, our podcast. Follow the Keys on social media now. Calling all youth baseball and softball players, the next time you come to a Keys game, wear your uniform. By doing so, you'll receive a free ticket to any Sunday through Thursday home game. Tickets must be purchased at the Keys box office on the day of the game. Additionally, each child must be accompanied by an adult. For more information about Keys tickets and promotions, contact the team at 301-815-9939 or visit frederickkeys.com. Frederick Keys Baseball, shake your keys.
Have a big birthday celebration coming up, a huge family get-together, or maybe just a party where you need a lot of space? Come and watch a Frederick Keys game in one of two luxurious triple suites. The Visit Frederick triple suite is on the first base side, and an additional triple suite can be found on the third base side. With room for up to 42 people, the triple suite includes tickets, 6 parking passes, top-notch wait service, and much more. To book your big night, call the Keys at 301-815-9900 or visit frederickkeys.com.
Flex Packs are making a return in 2022. Our Flex Packs allow you to have the ultimate flexibility when it comes to your tickets. Purchase one Flex Pack and get 10 undated ticket vouchers that can be redeemed when you want. Use 10 at once or split them up over the course of the season. Flex Pack ticket holders receive an additional 25% off at the box office, plus all ticket plan holders receive an exclusive gift, their choice of an F-Star pint glass or a Frederick Keys portable charger. Call an account manager right now at 301-815-9900 to secure your Flex Pack for 2022.
Welcome back to Nimio Field here at Harry Grove Stadium. I'm Gareth Kwok here for the Keys Radio Network. We are currently in a rain delay here on this Sunday afternoon ahead of Frederick and Trenton, game three of this three-game series. And we were supposed to, again, the original start time was supposed to be 1 o'clock this afternoon. Got pushed back to 1:15 because of some more of some rain that swept through. And now the rain has continued and has actually gotten harder. And so the complete tarp is on, covering the entire infield. And now we have to just wait and see how long this delay will roll through. But right now it's quite a heavy rain that's coming down here in Nimio Field at Harry Grove Stadium. And so we have not started the game at all. We will continue to update you on the status of this game. But right now we are in a rain delay that's preventing us from throwing out the first pitch and getting things underway here at Nimio Field at Harry Grove Stadium in downtown Frederick. Not much wind, at least for today. It's been actually pretty quiet, but just a very very heavy downpour. A lot of the fans have gathered underneath the concourse, underneath some sort of roof and shelter to stay dry. And so right now, some of the Trenton and Frederick players still gathered in the dugout, huddled underneath their roof. But at least some have gone back into their clubhouses just to stay dry and warm. And the umpires are back in their respective locker rooms as well. But I guess while we're on since we're going to be in a rain delay, we won't know how long this will last. And I figured this would be a good time to play my latest episode of the latest episode of Unlocking the Keys, episode 4, featuring Alex Beza and Evan Berkey, two second half guys, two first year Keys players who are actually very close friends. They are playing for the second straight summer. As a matter of fact, last summer they played in the Northwoods League in Mankato, Minnesota, for the Mankato Moondogs. And so how funny enough that they get to play one last summer here. And one last summer, they both finished up their college careers. They get to play one last time together here in Frederick in the MLB Draft League. How did they find out that they'd be coming here to the Draft League? And they've actually known each other a little bit before Mankato. Opposing teammates at when Evan was used to be at Cal State Bakersfield and when Alex used to be at the University of Hawaii. But Evan was had a great series against Hawaii, and every time he touched first, he got to know Alex Beza a little bit, and that chemistry eventually grew into a tight friendship. So here's my conversation, the podcast, Unlocking the Keys. It's available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, featuring Alex Beza and Evan Berkey here on this Sunday as we are in the middle of a rain delay here in Frederick. And so with a heavy downpour coming on, let's play Unlocking the Keys, episode 4, Alex Beza and Evan Berkey.
From the Nimio Field at Harry Grove Stadium, this is Unlocking the Keys.
You know what time it is? It's time for Unlocking the Keys, the official podcast of Frederick Keys Baseball. You can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media as well, at Frederick Keys. I'm Gareth Kwok, the radio broadcaster for the Keys this summer. This is episode 4 of Unlocking the Keys, and we're going to be featuring not one, but two second-half Frederick Keys players. My guests for today's episode are two infielders who are not from the East Coast and may have attended different schools, but they're very close friends playing together for the second straight summer. The first baseman from the University of Utah, Alex Beza. Alex, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And then the shortstop from the University of Evansville, Evan Berkey. Evan, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Glad to be here.
Hey, thanks for joining me. First question, because, you know, usually how summer ball works, it's kind of you get your one summer, you get your teammates, and you kind of, it's like one and done. You don't know whether you'll see each other again, but could you have imagined, hey, the same team in the same summer for the second straight year?
No, I couldn't have. we've kind of had a weird story too. We've been kind of around the same summer leagues 4 years in a row, just bouncing around, just missing each other. And then Mankato last year was the first time we played together, and just randomly I showed up here a week early or a week left of the first half. Berkey saw my Snapchat story that I was here, and he's like, "No shot, you're there. I'm coming in 4 days." So just kind of dumb luck, but yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, just a beautiful coincidence, man. You know, you get to play baseball with one of your best buddies over the last couple of years, and it's easy to come to a spot right away to kind of like be yourself once you first get here, because you got a couple guys you already know. But yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, yeah, let's back things up, because that's that first that last summer we're talking about the Mankato Moondogs, mm-hmm. in the Northwoods League. How was it playing for Mankato last year?
Mankato's awesome. Berkey would know better than I would. He was there for 2 years. I was just there last year, but it felt like a lifetime. We had the most fun summer. I mean, we got the most out of our time off the field and on the field. Our team was just disgusting. We went out there and just won every game, it felt like. But yeah, it was a good time, just a lot of good guys, and the dogs were hot.
Dogs were hot. But, yeah, going back, because I was there a year before Alex and then got there the next year. But Matt Wallenzen was the head coach. He's now one of my really good friends. Got to keep him around my life. Pretty good mentor as well. But very, very easy to play down there. Not much pressure on you. It is summer ball, so it is loose and easy. But Matt kind of made it really easy to go down there and just have some fun.
Hey, I saw some of the names on that roster last year. There are some guys that you had there. Jacob Wilson from mm-hmm. Grand Canyon. He's a All-American shortstop. Played for Team USA this past year. Justin Boyd from Oregon State. Mm-hmm. He just got drafted in the second or third round by the Reds. And then Adam Fogel from the University of Kentucky, who is also your former Hawaii teammate as well. And now he plays for Mahoning Valley here in the draft league. You guys had some guys on that team.
Yeah,
huh?
We had those guys. And then also Matt Higgins is one of the most – pure hitters I've ever seen on a baseball field. Yeah. Went to Bellarmine University. That guy's got the single season and all-time home run record at his school. Was an All-American this year, and he just got his contract with the Giants. Yep. But that, just top to bottom, you could go up down that roster and you'd see some guys out there, like Vince Riley.
Vince,
guy's 5'9", throwing 97 miles an hour.
Luke Young,
yeah, everybody on that team. It was honestly insane to just show up every day and see people work. Like it was crazy to see that day in and day out. It was awesome. It was like a little summer of Pro Bowl, a little minor league summer.
Pretty much. It's cool to see because you don't know what you're going to get into. And then this last year or this year's draft, and then you see all these people go, you're like, oh, my goodness. Like, I didn't realize what kind of like what you were around at the time until after it happens. But yeah, it was awesome to show up every day with that type of talent.
And how funny is it that Fogel now is in Mahoning Valley, and also he was teammates with Hunter Jump and Jake Plastiak, man.
We were talking about it not too long ago, how insanely small the baseball world is. Like, there's so many people you go in and out, like, just talking to people at first base throughout the games, just like, oh, you went to Kansas, you know this guy. You went to Texas, you know this guy. It's like, oh, I grew up with that guy. And it's like everyone knows each other. Everyone's close-knit. And it's just, like, random. Like, kids from New Jersey will know, like, my best friend from California. It's just the weirdest, just a small, tight-knit community. And it's awesome being out here. But, yeah, I'm excited to see Fogel again today. And, yeah, it's crazy. We got put up with his two teammates this last year. And it's been like Berkey said, an easy transition, easy to come in every day and play.
Yeah.
Now, did you two know each other at all prior to Mankato?
Not really. No, like if someone were to ask me, like, oh, do you know Alex Bayes? I'm like, oh yeah, that was a first baseman from Hawaii. But we just, I mean, I do kind of own Hawaii a little bit, so I was on the bases quite often. So we got to chit chat about.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm pretty talkative at first base. And
yeah, you're not one of those guys to shut people out.
No, I get bored out there. I get lonely at first base. I've been talking to the umpire, first base coach, anyone who gets on, and we couldn't keep Berkey off the bases. So I got to know him pretty well, pretty quick. We would just talk about dumb stuff like tattoos, what he was seeing, how the pitcher was throwing that day, just what he did last night, just kind of making the game move along a little quicker. And after him just tearing up Hawaii 2 years in a row, I got to know him pretty good. And then we ended up in Mankato, and that was basically like you kind of know him already, and then you just start to hang out with him off the field and really get to know him. So it was easy transitioning into a friendship, but for the most part, it was just like he was always just destroying us, but he was cool when he was on the bases, so I would talk to him.
So how did you do in that series? You remember?
I think
you said two. You said you played them twice, right?
Yeah. So we went up there sophomore year. I don't really remember much from sophomore year, but it was another coincidence too. An old news broadcaster from Palm Desert was working there, and then he moved to Hawaii to do the news down there. So he kind of got to do a little story on me after the first year, kind of just saying how we both knew each other and then coming up to Hawaii and playing well. But then the next year, I think I hit maybe, 500 on the weekend with four doubles. And I was playing all over the field, too. I think I DH'd the first game, played second the next game, then ended up in right field the last game. But, yeah, that pretty good series for me.
Pretty good series, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back. First interaction, kind of how do you remember it all played out when he's at first base?
Well, first interaction actually was this guy hits a double off the wall. And so what I would do at Hawaii was just like I hated like the coaches would do their slow jog or walk out to the pitchers to grab the shin guards and elbow guards. So I'd always tell the guys, like, just hand me your shin guard. I'll run it over to your coach. Let's get it going. And this guy runs to second. And you know how teams do their double celebration, whatever it is.
This guy
faked a pulled hammy as I'm like reaching for his shin guard and then just starts twerking in my face. And I was like, oh, screw this guy. I turned around, walked away. So originally when we got to Mankato, I was like, no way this Berkey kid's on my team. I hate this kid. And then after like one day of practice, we went out and I was like, okay, this guy's kind of funny. Like after that, I looked back and I was like, okay, the whole twerking thing was kind of funny. But like in the moment, this kid had been tearing us up all for 2 years. And he had another double and just twerked in my face. I was like, I hate this kid. But, yeah.
Hey, you hate the ones that are good, though, right?
You know? Yeah, you love to hate them.
You love to hate them, yeah.
You hate them on the other team, but, you love them on the same team.
Yeah.
So that was the Universal Cal State Bakersfield double celebration? Or that was just you?
That was me and my buddy Tyler Jorgensen. He was a utility guy and ended up playing first our second time in Hawaii, but... Yeah,
that was how I went down. Well, I mean, what was the moment then that I guess, I don't know if it was maybe during that series or at Mankato where you guys really started to kind of connect and it's more than just, hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Definitely. My bad. But in Mankato, for sure, because we're with each other every day. And I don't know, did you guys have a car in Mankato?
I did not. No, Cole did. One of the other guys from Hawaii, Cole Kaler, he was at A&M this year. He had a truck, so... I would just catch rides with him. But for the most part, whenever we needed a ride, Berkey was there. And then, like you said, Walenzin, he knew Coach Walenzin. And then J-Mo, who was at Evansville. And funny enough, my freshman year at Hawaii, I faced him. Did he go?
UCR.
Riverside, yeah. He went to UCR. I faced him. He was a Friday guy. I faced him as a freshman his senior year and then end up playing for him. So it was just the whole summer lined up, like, we had a lot of guys from the Big West, Pac-12, like California guys in the middle of Minnesota. So it was really comfortable. It was just the strangest thing. Just everything lined up perfectly for just the most comfortable summer and everything. There wasn't ever like an awkward like first week or anything. It just kind of seemed like everything just flowed right into season. It was a comfortable transition and everyone, it was like a close family from the start.
Yeah. And you honestly don't really get that often in summer ball. I was fortunate. I'm sure Alex is fortunate enough too, but you know, going to Rochester, Minnesota, we both played there. My time there with Thomas Walker.
Yeah.
And then J-Mo, the guy that not the guy, but the coach that we both played for he coached me there my first year in the Northwoods. So I've always kind of had a really good start to summers to kind of get comfortable. But once we got to Mankato, it was just right away. It didn't take a week or two.
Yeah.
Got our icebreakers out the first day and then played a couple games, won them, and then we just started bombing. Yeah.
So did you drive all the way from California to?
I sure did.
So how long is that drive?
That took me almost 26 hours. From,
wow.
Because I went.
Where'd you
so
stop?
My first year in the Northwoods League, I flew. And then I yep. drove back with the coach.
Okay.
And my second year, I drove to Texas first mm-hmm. and got some at-bats in the Palm Springs Collegiate League.
Yep.
But they had to move it because of COVID to mm-hmm. Texas because Texas yeah. didn't have any boundaries.
Yeah, no restrictions at that time.
So I went there for about a week and a half, got a couple at-bats, and then went from Texas to Minnesota. And that was wow. like a 15-hour and then a 13-hour, so like 28 hours.
So were you kind of, I guess, the tour guide for the first, when he came for that one summer? And because you had already been there one summer, it was going to be your second summer.
Yeah.
You're kind of showing them around, showing the ropes.
There were actually a lot of guys. There were a lot of guys who had been there previous years. So there was even guys that, like, neither of us really knew before. They had been there a year or two before, kind of somewhere around Minnesota. They knew Mankato was a good spot. So they would always go back. So it was a good core group of like guys who had been there before. And then the majority of us where it was the first time there, it was just so easy to get comfortable and just get after the work and not really have that awkward phase because there were so many guys who knew the area, they knew what it was like, and they just showed you what there was to do around there, how they go about their business. And Mankato's field and the locker room and everything.
Money.
It's a nice turf field, nice locker room, nice clubhouse. Got a PlayStation in there, so like it's super comfortable. A great place for like if you show up early, all the guys are just messing around, having fun. So it's a super laid back, fun place to be.
Yeah, and so as far as Northwoods League baseball, because it is like a grind. Like it's considered to be one of those leagues where you only get maybe two or three off days a month.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is it as advertised as when you see on the schedule?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's 72 games in what, 75 days?
72 games in 75
it'll,
days.
It'll make you rethink your decision to play college baseball. Yeah. You'll be fighting some demons throughout game 55, 56, but it's awesome. Like I said, if you got that good group of guys and the coaches who make it fun to be there every day, it's a blast.
Flies, for sure, though.
Yeah, it does fly.
Having fun.
It's a grind, but once you get really close to those guys and showing up every day, seeing all those cool little towns and old school parks, it flies. And then you look back, you're a fifth year senior, not with no summer ball left, and you're like, I wish I could go back for one more.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, at least that schedule. I mean. If you can play 72 games in 75 days, you can do anything, right? Basically, I mean, draft league here, you guys are playing six games a week. I mean, but that implies, you know, you guys get at least a, you know, a couple off days a month. Every Monday has been an off day, so this is probably nothing for you guys, really.
Yeah,
right?
It's been fun. I mean, Berkey's playing every day at short. I've mixed in a couple DHs, a couple days off, but I mean, I feel like I could go six days a week and then make it to Monday on the off day. But I mean, that's what everyone here trains for. We're all training to get that contract, go play pro ball, and when you do that, you're playing every day. So you got to put your body through the gauntlet in the off season training for this stuff, so that you're not shell shocked when you come out here.
Yeah. I know he gets the luxury of maybe getting some DH days. You've been playing short the entire summer so far. You feeling all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. Yeah. You know, you take your ibuprofens and drink a lot of water and go get some decent rest if you can, and then get up and do it again. But I love playing every day because once you get in a groove, it's hard to get taken out of it. And then once you finally, you know, maybe start slowing down a little bit, you'll get an off day or something to, you know, kind of just take a step back from the game a little bit, watch it from the sidelines, chirp a little bit, and get back in there next day.
We talked a little bit about the Northwoods League, but you guys also spent one summer each in the Alaskan Baseball League, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I just out of curiosity, kind of what was the team you guys played for? What was that like to play in Alaska?
So, yeah, I'll go first. I played for the Peninsula Oilers.
Okay.
Very interesting little area.
Okay.
It's tight, very small. It's like it's called the obviously it's a peninsula, so it's a little tiny island. Very tiny. I had a good time though, because I got to ride some ATVs and go on, like, what we did was we took a rope, tied it on the ATV, tied it up to like a sled, and then once it started raining, we got to go like mud sledding and stuff, and then we got to go fishing. We where the waders get about you know waist deep in the water, and I got to experience one of the coolest, most American thing in my life. I was fishing, and a bald eagle comes swooping down into the water and picks a fish right out of the water and flies back into its nest. I got to witness it right in front of my face.
One swoop.
No bobbles, clang, clang. And he picked it up and went all the way back up in his tree. It was amazing.
Give him the gold.
Hey, I mean, is it true you guys play at like 9 p.m., 10 p.m. first pitch?
We had a midnight game.
Yeah. Midnight?
Started at midnight, no lights.
No lights.
Yeah, you'll lose your mind out there.
Yeah.
It's different. But yeah, so he played in for the Oilers, and I played for the Anchorage Glacier Pilots. And that's kind of a bigger city. It's like, that's where you fly into. Right? Yeah, in Anchorage. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot more stuff there. There's like nice little like hikes. There's the oceans right behind the field. There's a bunch of rivers. I lived in, my host family was in Eagle River. It's an amazing house. No neighbors, no yard. Yeah. It was right up against the river. You'd wake up, go out to the patio in the morning, have your cup of coffee or whatever. Yeah. Just look out in the backyard. There'd be moose and black bears walking around. But yeah.
What's weather at that point? Like
65, 70? Yeah.
Wow. It has its days, though, where it'll get a little humid and hot.
Yeah.
But for the most part, Alaska kind of...
65, 70.
Yeah, stayed cloudy.
Wow.
But yeah, there was one time I was... A couple guys on the team went to go see Toy Story. It was like Toy Story 4 or 3. I don't know, whatever one that was coming out at the time. But we go watch it at midnight, come back out at like 3 in the morning. It's still sunny. Kind of looks like sunset. And I had a long driveway, kind of like the movie Get Out, if you've ever seen that, like a long secluded driveway. They dropped me off at the bottom of the street. I'm walking up and I'm tired. It's like 3 in the morning. And I look up, and between me and the garage door, like 20, 30 feet apart, was a huge black bear just staring at me. And I had no idea what to do. And the funny part is day one, your host family gives you bear spray. They're
like,
if you ever get in the middle of like an altercation with a bear, have your bear spray on you. And I'm from Utah. I was like, why do I need bear spray? I'm never going to see a bear out here. Get out there. And I immediately reached for the bear spray. And I was like, yep, it's by my bed. And so then I just sat there for like 5 minutes. It just stared at me, kind of sniffed around a little bit and walked away. And I sprinted inside, and I'd never been so scared in my life. But yeah, that was the most terrifying moment of Alaska, but it was cool. We'd go on a bunch of hikes. I got to go deep sea fishing with my host dad. Got some salmon. He grilled it up that night. But yeah, it was a cool experience. I loved playing in Alaska.
How do you guys get around? Because all you guys have to fly, right? So
yeah,
I mean, so, is it a lot of host families doing it, or they kind of have?
Yeah. So in Alaska, actually, the team that, I don't know if the Oilers did it, but when we got there were like 5 or 6 team cars.
Team vans.
Yeah, we had like team minivans, and I actually went to that summer with three of us from Hawaii there. So we all had the same host family, and we had our own minivan, and we lived the furthest from the field. So we had our own minivan, and we would just take it to the field and back every day. Then you just had to pay for your gas, but for the most part, it was a free car for the summer. Your host family would grill you up great food.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Costco 2 times a month and stock up whatever you wanted. So it was great. But, you never had to worry about a car. They paid for your flights out there.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Wow. And you had a team van also in Peninsula, right?
We did, yeah. We only had one, though.
Only
one? So we would have to – I was the furthest away. I'm lying. I'm like the second or third pickup. So they would take the van, just one of them. His name was Justin Jaime. He would pick everybody up, carpool to the field. The van didn't have a speaker system, so we had a JBL speaker in there.
JBL speaker. Yep.
Pick everybody up, made it work, and then go to the field.
Hey, I didn't know you guys both have had some experience on the mound. at least Berkey, you threw one inning in Mankato last summer. Is that right?
I threw 3 innings.
Really?
I threw one in the regular season, and then I had to go to a wedding. Went to the wedding for a week. Come back, we're in playoffs, and I show up and hop on the mound for playoffs and throw 2 innings.
How'd you do those two innings?
Did great.
Did great.
Competed.
All right, competed. Alex, how was your pitching back in the day?
I was recruited by Hawaii as a two-way. My first 2 years, I did all the stuff in the fall, like all the flat grounds, bullpen, long toss, arm care, everything. I'd throw in inner squads. I was never a fan of pitching because whenever you're a two-way, they always tell you you have time for both, but whenever it's time to go run poles, it's normally during BP, and I hate missing BP. So I'd always have to like throw my bullpen or do my arm care, rehab, whatever during BP, and I would lose my mind. But I got one outing my freshman year against Cal Poly. I think we were down like 16-4 or something. They were like, basically get out there. I think I walked the bases loaded, and then I struck out the side to get out of it. So I always tell the pitching staff whenever I get a chance that I had the lowest ERA in the nation my freshman year. So I always tell them, like, it can't be that hard. Like, just get out there, just dominate. I did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's your numbers are on Baseball Reference. I got your numbers here.
It's like two-thirds of an inning, runs.
We're combining the Hawaii and the summer ball numbers because, let's be real, it's sort of a short sample size. Yeah, so we kind of have to combine both of them here. You threw 7 2/3 innings. You have an ERA of 7.04.
I threw 7 innings?
That's what Baseball Reference is. I'll show you later.
Did
maybe
you throw
after.
In summer ball?
Did I throw in, I think seven, I threw in Rochester.
Seven strikeouts. You walked 8 guys. Your last appearance was in 2019.
That was Rochester.
The 2018 summer in Rochester, the walks and the earned runs were a little.
Yeah, in Rochester. I forgot. I threw in Rochester. I hadn't. That was right after at Hawaii. They told me I didn't have to two-way anymore. And then it was like 30 games in Rochester. We had no arms. And they threw me out there for 2 innings, and they T-walk? Were like, "Just yeah, T-walk." T-walk threw me out. They said, "Just throw it up there, 60 miles an hour." And I don't even know what happened. I don't know if I guess I must have walked a bunch
you
of guys, but
the house and then gave up a knock. Yeah, or something.
Gave up one knock probably after walking the bases loaded. But yeah, summer ball doesn't matter, man. In college, I got a 0 ERA.
There you go.
In the Big West Conference, I didn't give up a run. That's all that matters.
Two-thirds of an inning. 2/3 of them, I think, 3 walks?
3 walks, 2 Ks.
There you go.
No runs. That's how it's done right there.
So that's a 0 ERA.
That's a 0. That's a big donut right there. That'll get you into the hall.
We got my baseball reference on there.
I think so. Everybody's got their Baseball Reference out there.
Well, yeah, I know the hitting part, but I've never checked my innings on the mound.
On the summer ball, they usually have your summer ball stats on there too. So we'll have to check them out after.
Have to pull that up.
So what I'm hearing is that if we run out of arms on this Keys team, you guys are ready to go.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't know what my strike percentage will be. I don't know if Dennis would like that very much, but I'll go up there and I'll dominate that rubber.
Okay.
You'll feel the presence.
All right. Well, hey, let's talk a little bit your spring seasons because you guys both sort of did the opposites of one another. You went back home from Hawaii to Utah.
Yep.
You meanwhile went from home to Indiana to the University of Evansville. But no, just from what led your decision making to kind of finish out your college careers the way you wanted to?
Okay, so to start. When we both played in Minnesota, I was cool. We were both coached by That's a lie. I was coached by Kearse Kimball. He was one of the pitching coaches at Evansville.
Yep.
And when I first got there, we just clicked right away. And then I played with about 5 Evansville players on that Moondogs team: Tanner Craig, Danny Borgstrom. Forgot the rest, but we're good. But that kind of got my foot in the door for Evansville. So, yeah.
You wanted to be part of the brotherhood there.
Absolutely. It was special. It was special. I got to go to Evansville and almost win a Missouri Valley Conference championship. Yeah. So we definitely got to exceed our goal that we had. So, yeah.
Are you satisfied with how it played out for your final year? I mean, considering the circumstances?
Yeah, I mean – Yeah, I'm satisfied. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. Made a lot of memorable friendships down there. Wouldn't trade it for the world. But we would have liked to take home that championship.
How was the weather the first couple of games in February?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough. fortunately, we got to open up at NC State, so it was 70 degrees and sunshine.
Okay.
But then after that, we went to Vanderbilt.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was 25 degrees, raining. The worst game I've ever been playing in my whole entire life. I was playing, I was at third, just standing there shivering, trying to move around as much as possible. And then the more I move around to stay warm, the more the fans start chirping me. Because they're right there, they're chirping me. Oh, you're too cold, California boy. Too cold, blah blah blah.
Oh wow, so those Vandy fans get on you.
Ruthless.
Huh?
Also, there's no foul territory there.
Zero.
Like so the bleachers are 4 feet from the foul line.
On you.
There's no foul territory.
I'm surprised though, because 25 degrees and raining, you'd think there wouldn't be that many fans. But I get, you know, Vanderbilt. You know,
they're built different.
They got the big name and. The fans are loyal, I guess, and they had a fun time chirping me out there.
Yeah. It's a nice field there, though, right?
Beautiful. I
mean, yeah.
Nice turf.
Yeah, I got to play there the COVID year, too.
Yeah, I was going to say 2021 or 2020?
What was it, 2020?
2020.
The COVID year, yeah. The short season.
2020.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah. We went
2020, 2021 season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how about you because 4 years at Hawaii, and then coming back home to Utah?
Yeah. So last year at Hawaii – I was having a pretty good season, and then with about 3 weeks left, I tore my hamstring. So I was rehabbing that, ended up, I was able to, like, somehow play my senior day. Somehow I was able to play, could barely run to first. Like, mostly one-legged. I could not run to first base. But
really?
I played that day, and then I was rehabbing for, like, 5 weeks at home. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do my last year somewhere. I had already moved everything out of Hawaii.
Oh,
and then
my
leg started feeling a little better. I was like, I don't feel like I'm done yet. Like, I want to go back, see what I can do. So I went to Mankato, and I hit the transfer portal as a grad transfer. And just kind of looking around, seeing what I was doing, and had a couple options, but... it was actually J-Mo who was our coach. He was one of the guys who was at Evansville. He was our pitching coach, and I kept telling him about all the other schools I was thinking about. And he's like, why not Utah? Cause they had been talking to me for a while. And he told me straight up, he's like, it just seems like you're finding a reason not to go home. Like Utah makes so much sense. And it just seems to me like you're trying to find a reason that makes sense for you not to go home. And after he said that, I kind of sat back and thought, and I was like, That's some deep stuff from J-Mo right there.
That's facts.
And then also with Utah, Coach Henderson, the head coach there, this was his first year as the head coach. My assistant coach at Hawaii, Mike Brown, he's like family. I love that guy. He played for Hendu at Kentucky, and then he coached under him at Mississippi State before he went to Hawaii. And he had nothing but good stuff to say. So I was like, if this guy vouches for him, I got to go play for him because I love playing for this guy. I want to see, like, who basically made him as a coach. So I went and played for him. And then 2 weeks later, after I commit, Brown gets the assistant job. He's a recruiting guy at Utah. So we both went over together, and we did our last year at Utah together. And it was awesome, man. I loved being home. The toughest part was the weather. I mean, I was in Hawaii for 4 years, and then –
go back to
your training in the snow all Christmas break. But then the nice part was the first month of season we were in California.
You're traveling.
Yeah, we didn't.
You're going to SoCal all the time.
For the first month of season, we didn't have a home game, which was nice. But even still, there'd be some midweek games at home or at Utah Valley or BYU that were just miserable.
Utah Valley.
And I don't know what it is. I got this weird thing where I can't wear long sleeves. Like, I don't know why.
No,
I can't do it. I don't know if it's a mental thing. Like, if I'm wearing long sleeves, I feel like it's too cold. I don't know. Up top in the mind. But I would just sit there and just freeze with no sleeves on, and everyone would think I was crazy. And I was like, no, if I put sleeves on, then I start thinking that it's cold. So like, I just don't throw sleeves on. I'll just freeze and just sit by the heater in between innings. But there were some tough games early in the year.
Was that the cold? What's the coldest game? Is that Vandy game the coldest game?
Absolutely.
The coldest game I've ever played in was I think it was my junior year. We went to Ohio State in February. Why would Hawaii go to Ohio State in February? Why not just make it to, I don't know. But it was like 10 degrees, and it snowed during BP, and like the whole first two 2-3 innings. It was snowing. Miserable. That was the worst game I've ever played in that whole weekend. We were in Columbus, Ohio, like the last week of February, and I don't think it got above 20 degrees.
I'm pretty sure there's a rule, though, for, like, temperature-wise.
Yeah, we were close to the I think it's, like, under 18 or 17 degrees. It's the NCAA doesn't let you play, and we had just barely hit the mark. But I hated playing there, but I think I'm the mayor of Columbus after that series, though. I had a great series out there. Yeah. So maybe I should go back.
Play in the cold.
Just play in the cold all year.
Do you guys wish that you were college teammates, or you think just summer ball is kind of the way it should be?
I don't know.
No?
Absolutely not.
No?
If we were in college together, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be some bad news. If we got that Mankato team at the same school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what would be going on out there, man.
So
a lot of fun, though. A lot of fun.
Okay, so maybe it's a good thing you guys are just summer ball teammates and not
Yeah,
not
I mean, I also feel like if we were at school together, we'd know, like, this is a time, like, we can go out with a day off or something.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah, you guys are still professionals about it. This is what you're here to do, but... Just being able to just let everything hang out in the summer, like you can go out all night if you want to, and you'll figure out a way to do it at the yard. But like if we were at school and it was Thursday night, we're going out, and then we got UCLA or something Friday night. It's like you can't be doing that. Yeah, but I feel like we both knew that. But I'm glad we got to do it in the summer. You really get to see what everyone's like, and no pressure of like really trying to like win conference, go to a regional. Like you're just out there, you're getting your reps, you're working on your game, but you can blow off some steam in between.
So spring 2022, you guys finish out your seasons. Did you guys have any plans for the summer as far as summer baseball goes? I know you were back in your hometown playing for Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Right?
So what had happened was right after season, I knew that I wanted to play baseball, even if I didn't get drafted, if I didn't get signed, I'd want to go play somewhere. So a team in Montana, the Glacier Range Riders, ended up calling me about a week after season. And I haven't heard anything from the draft league, nothing. I wanted to come to the draft league. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just kept my options open with that team. And then, fortunately, the MLB draft league, Sean Campbell, we got the email, ended up...
Welcome back to Nimmo Field at Harry Grove Stadium. Ahead of Frederick and Trenton, we do have an update for you, and it's an official announcement. Today's game has been called due to the heavy rain and the field conditions right now. This Sunday afternoon contest will not commence, and yes, again, today's game has been canceled. It's been heavy rain this last hour, unfortunately. And so, which was strange because I at least from the radar and from the, at least it looked like from some of the other weather apps, it looked like it was going to be at least for the first half hour, but then maybe after that, it would start to sort of subside and we could play some baseball, but it has not let up one bit. If anything, it's gotten worse. And so, with this heavy rain, this heavy downpour coming down and really no time that it will be no end in near sight. I guess that's what I meant to say. No end coming soon. We are going to call this game, and so we weren't able to get through. We weren't able to begin the game today, so it's so unfortunately Keys will not have a chance to sweep Trenton this weekend, but they still take 2 of 2. And so it's still a successful weekend for Frederick back here at home. But again, this Sunday game will not begin due to heavy rain and the field conditions right now. So that's the update that we have. This game has been called. Our next game will be Tuesday. Keys are off tomorrow. So our next game will be Tuesday when the Keys host West Virginia. Three-game series against the Black Bears. Tuesday's game will begin at 7 o'clock. We will have the pregame show, the IBEW pregame, at 6:45. So that's going to be our next broadcast. But again, that'll be it's a three-game series, Tuesday through Thursday, here right back here in Nimmo Field at Harry Grove Stadium. Only 6 more home games left in this 2022 summer. And so, again, Keys and Black Bears will begin a three-game series starting on Tuesday. First pitch is all first pitches actually for this Tuesday through Thursday series are scheduled for 7 o'clock p.m. So we would love to see you out at the yard, but if you can't make it out to the ballpark, again, we'll have the pregame show beginning at 6:45. That's going to do things for me here at Nimmo Field at Harry Grove Stadium. I'm Gareth Kwok saying so long. Once again, today's game between Frederick and Trenton has been called off due to the heavy rain and inclement weather, and the field conditions right now not suitable for play. So we will talk to you all on Tuesday. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Stay warm, stay dry, and off day for the Keys on Monday, but they will be back on Tuesday to host West Virginia. We'll talk to you all on Tuesday. Have a great rest of your weekend.